Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
And this is where Bidvest Bank has launched the Sorbetpreneur as an innovative empowerment program designed to transform dedicated Sorbet employees into successful business owners. So next time you go and get a nice manicure, pedicure, maybe even a quick facial from Sorbet, you just might see the beautiful transformation of one of the technicians, nail techs, having transformed into the owner of that particular franchise. So, to tell us more, though, we join on the line by the CEO of Bidvest Bank, Hannah Sadiki, to tell us more. Such a pleasure to speak to you again, Madame Sadiki.
Thank you so much, Gugu, and good evening to you and the listeners.
I'm excited to speak to you about this one because I think it's a phenomenal partnership that's taken place between Bidvest together with Clicks, who actually own the license for Sorbet franchises in South Africa. Yes. Help us contextualize just the background in terms of this partnership and what the end goal and vision is before we get into the intricacies of how we are getting there.
Yeah, so the background was that as Bidvest Bank, we wanted to make a difference in the country. We said we want to play a part as a business banking bank in creating businesses that in turn would become our customers, as opposed to just having them as customers without playing a role in creating that. And so we went out into the market and spoke to different people, companies, and Linda Sinclair and team at Sorbet, as the CEO, then said, hey, this is what we would like to do. You know, we do a lot of work internally on training and developing our staff. So does Bidvest. This is actually an opportunity to go out there and do it externally and really work on how do we make an impact socially, you know, for equity. And yeah, that's how we started. The real vision for us was, you know, going out there, talking to, making sure that youth that are currently disadvantaged have an opportunity to own their own businesses where they would naturally would not even have any opportunity, let alone all that is required to have their own business. And we are proud. We are proud it's one of its own. It's the first of its own and still one of its own. We're not proud about that only because we would like to encourage other private sectors to do a lot more of how do we create SMEs and help them build sustainable business to create employment in the future.
Yes.
And really that's what it was about. It was about changing the narrative of a South African youth, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I think this again speaks to an important focus, right? The shared value, mm-hmm. the social investment and investment in social capital, especially when it comes to female-owned businesses, whom I understand, even from a banking and financial point of view, which you are a lover of and have been involved in for quite a while, you witness the ripple effect or the multiplier effect that does take place when you invest in women and woman-owned businesses. Talk us through this theme and why it remains so critical.
It is critical because as we always say, you know, women make a huge difference. They make a big dent. Research has shown that when you put women into leadership roles, into businesses, they actually grow this into a butterfly effect kind of thing. You know, it becomes a groundswell. They really make sure that community around them, you know, is impacted positively. And really that's why we thought that this is how we can have an impactful a positive way out there in the youth environment where there's a lot of unemployment, where there's a lot of people who really would like to have their own businesses but do not have the capital, let alone the support. So it became very important for us, and I must say that the Sorbet partnership became an easier partnership to have, not only because we aligned in values, but also because there is a lot of women working in that space. You know, they do have Sorbet men, but even in that, they have a lot of Sorbet women. And the starting point of this business was really around how do they grow those ladies who are making us feel good, right?
Yes,
because it is about that. It's not just about the beauty. And this has been a phenomenal journey, you know, and we can talk about how the where we started and how those ladies are doing from last year. When we get a moment.
Definitely. And I would like us to go there, but I can imagine, obviously, as a bank, a financial services player, you need to find favorable ways of actually making this level of support come about, because the Sorbetpreneurs that you're supporting are individuals who know how to operate the business, but obviously need skin in the game and lessons to I guess, necessarily build up the collateral and run the business effectively to make it attractive for the support that you've offered. So I do see, according to your statement, Chair, there's a 50% capital investment that that takes place in the business, 50% loan. Help us contextualize just the financial structure, but also additional support that Bidvest Banks provides to the sorbetpreneurs.
Sure. So Gugu, to go into any franchise, they always ask for 50% unencumbered fund. Uh-huh. So you are not supposed to have a loan, which is where we as Bidvest Bank then come in to say our social responsibility would be that we actually give them that as a grant.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of the 50% is where we actually support them from a loan perspective with really, really favorable pricing that makes it easier for them to be able to build up their business. And then the third piece that comes with that is that Sobe then also take away their franchise fees, which is a big amount, you know, it's not a small amount. Mm-hmm. And similarly, Clicks have now come in to say they'll also put in so that they have stock and they're able to actually start up without a hassle. You literally walk into a store and everything is set up. And so that's the first part from the financial perspective. What was important for us is that we've always heard about, you know, and I've been part of this, I've made those mistakes where we incubate SMEs and then after a few months we let them out there and then they don't have a sustainable business. I then said, we actually need to make sure that we capacitate them with training, mentoring, as well as coaching. So we coach them around all aspects of a business for 12 months so that we know that when we stop and back off, we've had a professional coach and mentor that have taken them through that, who coaches on how to run a business, supported by the framework that obviously a franchise would have. So Sobe has a franchise framework that is on top of that. So we coach them in that way from a banking perspective as well. So we, from Bidvest Bank point of view, pay for coaching to happen. It's done by Africa Pursuit, who are known as SME support and coaches. After 12 months, these ladies should be able to run on their own. What I always say is we mustn't be the crutch. We must be able to capacitate that they can even in 10 months go, hey, step off, I got this, you know, and run. We're not going to let it go after 12 months. We'll keep checking on them because from a bank perspective, it's in our interest to continue doing that. And from a Sobe perspective, it's also continuing to do that to keep making sure that they are successful. Our vision is to see these ladies really, you know, flying colors, being top performers in the Sobe franchise space, and getting to a point where they're wanting a second store and a third store and be there for them as they do that and walk that journey.
So beautiful. Actually, I went to your website just to actually evaluate the Sobepreneur, and I am aware that the most recent entries for 2024 have actually closed. For anyone who's listening and excited, I guess this is the scoop that you need to know so that you can enter perhaps next year. You have successful stories that you can still share, Hannah. The likes of Sharon, Zimkita, Sbongile, and Palisa, who I understand were the 2023 winners. Talk us through just some of the highlights that stood out for you, what made them competitive as entrepreneurs, and I guess so successful in terms of being part of the Sorbetpreneur initiative.
Yeah. So these young ladies were all technicians in their own right, from a beauty therapy point of view, different levels and different techniques that they had. They all had a dream, but never thought that dream would come true. And so when they went through this, we saw the entrepreneurial spirit inside of them at this, we call it the Dragon's Den session. There's a whole process you go through before you actually get to that. There's application, there's first and second assessment, and then you go through Dragon's Den and you face business women and men who then go, yeah, you are the winner. And we saw that with these four. And really last year, Gugu, we said we're only going to do three, but they impressed us so much that Linda and I said, we are going to find money to make sure we've got the fourth one. We couldn't leave that one out.
Sure.
And the first store was open last year in August, Women's Month. We're very proud. All four stores, let me just put this voice over, that they have taken those existing stores and grown them. Each one of them have grown way above inflation. I think three of them are now on double digit above inflation.
In this kind of economy?
In this kind of economy. Mm. And, you know, I say, you know, someone said to me when we started this, saying, you know, COVID taught people to do their hair, to do their massages at home, they buy machines. And these ladies have shown up. They've shown that they can do this and that they've got what it takes as entrepreneurs, and they understand how to run. And because technically there is nothing you can tell them about the store of, you know, inside. All they needed to learn was how to run a business by themselves. Mm. And I think we're going to see the same thing with the cohort of this year. The three winners this year went on another level. And I think it's the influence of last year, people spoke inside of Sorbet, shared, you know, what they went through, and therefore it elevated the level. We had more applications, strong applications this year, 52. And to select three, we were pulling our hair. We were even in tears. We would to say, who do we leave out? We don't, you know, I said, if I had a lot of money and I won the lot, I would give all 12 that were the top 12 money to actually run.
Beautiful.
I would buy, because really we have youngsters who have what it takes. All they need is an opportunity for us to support them to you know, to go in there and run a business. Mm. And the growth I've seen, you know, as leaders, these the ones from last year, is chalk and cheese from where they were. One of the ladies said to me, says, Hannah, do you remember that I couldn't even speak properly when I was doing the presentation? Man. You go into a store in Cape Town, she walks like a boss. You know, she's boss lady, loves her team, loves the customers. The customers love her. And it is amazing what they've become.
Yeah.
And I'm very about that.
We are super proud because we love hearing these kind of stories, right? And it gives us a different perspective and a refreshing one. As you say, these are all women with technical abilities and were nail technicians. And now to actually see them, you know, evolve from taking care of our gelish sets on our nails when we just want to relax and look good to actually now propelling the business. Exactly. Yeah. I'm keen to understand from an entrepreneurial point of view, and I guess in terms of the lessons that have been shared, you highlight mentorship, and I think there might be some lessons that any female entrepreneurs who are listening, or even financiers and incubators who are listening, can learn from this experience. So this, I guess, is for everyone else who supports entrepreneurs. What new innovative ways should we continue to consider in the future to make sure that there's a drive of sustainability behind the growth and support of female entrepreneurs in the country?
You know, there's two things that I think we underestimated when we started this journey. The first one is how, you know, in our roles, we know people are the most difficult things to manage, right? Mm-hmm. As leaders. And we underestimated that, you know, when you take over from being a nail technician or face a therapist or a masseuse, then when you take over, someone says, but we were the same. Now you want to say you are your own boss. We spend a lot of the time in the coaching in getting them to understand the difference between the two roles. And the transition piece, that was the most difficult part, was the transition piece. So it meant we needed to rethink how we help, not just because of the staff, but for themselves to say, moving from being one of, you know, in the banking we'll go one of the tellers to now being the supervisor requires a different skill. And being very clear about what those skills are. And also second piece, Gugu, is we realized that you can't have a generic program from a mentoring and coaching.
Yes.
It has to be specific. So we did assessments of who's strong at what in all aspects, financials, marketing, sales, all of it, and then customize per individual. You have to spend the time. It actually doesn't cost you a lot more. What it requires is really time. And I can't stress that more than anything, is spend the time to focus on that woman, on that individual. They will step up. They will step up. And lastly, just putting, you know, enough coaches and buddies around them that would, and that's the trick that we also learned, is that where they came from, they obviously were in someone else's franchise, right? Mm. And then we said to that person, now this person is, you liked them, they were your top performer, they're now running their own store. Your legacy is to get them to be successful.
Oh, beautiful. So passing on the baton, essentially.
So we really did. And I can tell you how proud those franchise partners are about the four. And even now with the new cohort, the franchise partners came to almost sit outside when we were doing the interviews and the presentations. It's become a full value chain. And that's what we need to do, because you then have someone who's seen it, done it, won the t-shirt, and knows the tricks.
Definitely.
Because if we incubate without having that individual who can be there on a phone call at night when a customer shouted at me and my staff and I didn't know how to handle it, and I can talk to someone. Because by the time I talk to my mentor, it's a week's time, 2 weeks' time. While it's fresh, I can go to bed knowing, oh no, she's faced it. And she's done this, and she's guided me like that. The next day, I'm able to get back into the store and call that customer and say, hey, "I apologize, and I maybe have not shown up properly, and this is what I can do to fix things."
Such.
So we've actually just. And they are very proud of leaving the legacy behind. Very proud.
Definitely. I'm excited for this one. Sorry I missed it, but we're definitely looking forward to touching base, even with the winners for the 2024 cohort, absolutely, to take a look at their growth going forward. Thank you again,
absolutely,
Hannah, and keep contributing and adding more women to the table, building the table sufficiently and effective for their needs. And of course, just continuing to encourage us and key financial services players to unlock the potential of so many more women who can contribute to the economy. Much, much appreciated.
Thank you so much, Gugu. I really appreciate you.
Thank you. Onwards and upwards. That is the CEO of Bidvest Bank, Hannah Siddiqui, joining us to tell us more about the Bidvest Bank Sorbetpreneur Innovative Empowerment Program. If you don't know by now, it's essentially an innovative program that's designed to help support and transform dedicated sorbet employees into successful business owners. So next time you sit opposite your nail technician as she's buffing, shining, polishing your nails, taking care of your facial, waxing some important parts, just remember that these are individuals who not only have the technical understanding and acumen to do the work that's required, but more so, they have the vested potential to run these organizations themselves. Just think of the multiplier effect. Very critical, right? And these kind of conversations matter because we just need to take a look at the statistics around South Africa's unemployment rate, that it's typically black, young females who are unemployed in South Africa and sit at the periphery of economic participation. So any opportunity to make sure that we empower a young black woman is an opportunity to uplift a family, is an opportunity to contribute and invest in societies and communities. And trust that, gentlemen, no one is leaving you behind either. We're all in this together and certainly need to make sure that the prospects of growth do continue for all at the table.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.